Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul, and tonight we're going to continue our study with the Trinitized Sons of God, and that's paper 22, and we're in section 4, Those Without Name and Number, and that's on page 246 of the old book. So let's say a little prayer, and we'll get started. Father, thank you for bringing us together tonight to study your wonderful revelation. Pray that you open our hearts and minds that we might remember some of this, that we might share it with others and take it with us to the mansion worlds, and we'll be a little step up on the next step. We thank you and we give you the praise in your son, Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. All right.
Oh, wow.
That's lit.
Oh, what a nice surprise.
Yes. Yeah. There's Rodney. Okay, let's get started. Diane, would you take the first paragraph there, please?
Mm-hmm. Those without name and number. Those without name and number constitute the third and last group of the Trinitized Sons of Attainment. They are the ascendant souls who have developed the ability to worship beyond the skill of all the sons and daughters of the evolutionary races. Okay, I'm going to start all over again. Four, those without name and number. Those without name and number constitute the third and last group of the Trinitized Sons of Attainment. They are the ascendant souls who have developed the ability to worship beyond the skill of all sons and daughters of the evolutionary races from the worlds of time and space. They have acquired a spiritual concept of the eternal purpose of the Universal Father, which comparatively transcends the comprehension of the evolutionary creatures of name and number, name or number. Therefore, are they denominated those without name and number? More strictly translated, their name would be those above name and number. Hey, Let. Hey, Rodney.
I find that to be a strange designation.
I do too. I wonder why they're without name and number. That doesn't seem.
Well, what I mean is, even if they are, it looks like there would still be a name for them.
There may be a name that they just simply, it's one of the, they just don't.
It's just out of, it's how it started.
Nobody can hear me. Let me unmute. Okay, those without name and number. Okay, what they're trying to explain to us here is that these people, just like us, have developed a skill of worship that is so far higher than the normal or the norm of those progressing through on the way to paradise. They have transcended the comprehension of worship above what we normally think. So that's why they call them those without name and number. In other words, they're on a higher scale than we are, and higher scale than the normal evolutionary person is. So being that they're on this higher scale, they're almost on a different plane of existence. So that's why they call them those without name and number. They're higher than the normal individuals. And that's why they say it's those above name and number. Make sense?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
They're mortals, right? I mean,
they're mortals like we are, right? But they've developed their worshiping skill to the point where they've transcended the normal reality of ascendant beings. Makes sense? So they're really on a different plane, if you think about it, which is kind of interesting. It makes you wonder if they're on a higher plane, do they still communicate with us? like they did before? I don't know. You know, maybe not. So, all right. Let's see. Linda, you're not going to get out this easy. So would you take the next paragraph? And then you can take the one after that, too. one sentence is not fair.
Okay, so 247.1.
Right.
The order of sons is embraced by the Paradise Trinity in groups of 7,000. There are of record on Uversa over 100 million of these sons commissioned in Orvinton. Since those without name and number are the superior spiritual minds of the survival races, they are especially qualified to sit in judgment and to render opinions when a spiritual viewpoint is desirable and when experience in the ascendant career is essential to an adequate comprehension of the questions involved in the problem to be adjudicated. They are the supreme jurors of Orvinton. A maladministered jury system may be more or less of a travesty of justice on some worlds, but on Uversa and its extension tribunals, we employ the highest type of evolved spiritual mentality as juror judges. Adjudication is the highest function of any government, and those who are entrusted with verdict rendering should be chosen from the highest and most noble types of the most experienced and understanding individuals.
Boy, are we off base, aren't we, here on this planet?
Yeah.
Any way you look at it. So these are the beings that when they want a higher spiritual opinion, right? If something comes up for adjudication that requires a higher spiritual opinion as jurors, they call in these people, those without name and number, and they get their viewpoint on whatever problem it is. Now, it's interesting because it makes it sound like our jury system is a joke. And really, probably on this planet, it pretty much is, right? And that's what they're pretty much telling us here, that we should be picking our jurors for jury cases or for anything that requires a decision like this, we should be picking these from the highest types of minds of our beings, of humans, right? And boy, we don't do that, do we? We all fight to keep from having to go to jury duty because it's just a pain most of the time, right? Where it should be your highest goal in life to be able to sit on a jury because you've been chosen because of your mind. And that's exactly opposite of what we do, right? So kind of interesting. All right. Let's see, Jane, would you take the next one, please? You out there, Jane? Okay.
Yes. Is your reception okay? Mine has been cutting off.
Yeah, mine's okay. Is everybody else hear me okay or not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's yeah. Only me then. It's probably my location again acting up. I'll give it a try. Hopefully it will work.
Okay.
Okay. The selection of candidates for the Trinitization classes of mighty messengers, those high in authority and those without name and number, is inherent and automatic. The selective techniques of Paradise are not in any sense arbitrary. Personal experience and spiritual values determine the personnel of the Trinitized sons of attainment. Such beings are equal in authority and uniform in administrative status, but they all possess individuality and diverse characters. They are not standardized beings. All are characteristically different, depending on the differential of their ascendant careers.
So as you progress through the mansion world and on your way to paradise, and as you progress through these things and you become a finaliter, when you get up to the point of being a finaliter and they decide to choose people for this trinitization process, This process becomes an inherent and what they call an automatic function. In other words, you've developed over a period of time, and your characteristics and your attainment and your personal values and experience automatically qualifies you for these different groups. Okay. So they choose you. You don't have anything to do with it. They automatically choose you for this trinitization process. And when they do, it's apparently a great honor to do that, right? Okay, so that's what they're talking about here. And it depends on your experience, and everybody's experience is a little bit different, right? All right, Letch, would you like to take the next one?
Sure. In addition to these experiential qualifications, the trinitized sons of attainment have been trinitized in the divine embrace of the paradise deities. Consequently, they function as the coordinate associates of the stationary sons of the Trinity, for the Trinity embrace does seem to precipitate out of the stream of future time many of the unrealized potentials of creature beings. But this is true concerning only that which pertains to the present universe age.
Okay, so what they're talking about, the present universe age, all things that are happening in the seven super universes right now, not into the future, into the outer space zones, right? And it seems everything seems to precipitate from the stream of the events of this time, not the future of the seven super universes. All right. Okay, let's see here. I'm getting loved by a cat. Messing up my mouse. Okay, here we go. Rodney, would you take the next one, please? You're not seeing that on your screen. Okay.
Yes. This group of sons is chiefly, but not wholly, concerned with the services of the ascendant career of the time-space mortals. If the viewpoint of a mortal creature is ever in doubt, the question is settled by appeal to an ascendant commission consisting of a mighty messenger, one high in authority, and one without name and number.
So everything they do has to do with the ascendant plan of mortal creatures, right? They don't have anything to do with administration of any other types of beings or celestial beings or anything like that. So that's just for mortals. All right. Gary, would you take the next one, please?
You mortals who read this message, may yourselves ascend to paradise, attain the Trinity embrace, and in remote future ages be attached to the service of the Ancient of Days in one of the seven super universes, and sometime be assigned to enlarge the revelation of truth to some evolving inhabited planet, even as I am now functioning on your rancha.
Okay, so we may get the opportunity to do what? Do the same thing these beings are, right? Teach other people, not other planets, right?
Oh, I figured out how to deal with these unnamed and unnumbered beings. What they are called is you.
You. hey, you.
That's it.
So just curious, who wrote this paper?
This was a mighty messenger.
Mighty messenger.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Let me go down here and make sure. I'm almost positive.
You know, since they're the adjudicators, can everybody hear me?
No, it's my mighty messenger. Yeah.
Yes.
Since they're the adjudicators, it makes sense that they would kind of move into this like anonymous status to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. They would almost have to, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think that would be the case?
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. That kind of clarifies it for me. I'm sure it's goes much deeper than that, but kind of at a high level, I think
who's not coming through.
That's why they're without name and number.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's a pretty important position in the universe, I would say.
Yeah, I would say so, because you know, you think about it, everything having to do with us progressing on into the next levels has to do with the adjudication, doesn't it? I mean, how we're doing things, you know, and really that's everything we do has to be, if you think about it, adjudicated in some way, you know? So it's not like we just nilly-nilly through the mansion world, you know, and if we make it here and we make it there, it's okay. If we don't, we don't. It's not really that way. It's we're assigned specific tasks and specific duties, and someone makes a decision whether we're doing these things properly, don't they? So maybe these people, these beings, are part of that process. You know, whenever you see a movie about the afterlife or anything like that, there's always some person or some being that's in charge of making sure you make the grade. Right. And that's the way you kind of think about this, the adjudicators of our future, you know, if you think about it. So it's our way of thinking of things.
So Roger.
Yeah.
So these guys, they used to have a name.
They used to have a name.
They're all numbered.
Yeah.
Once we get up.
Right.
So apparently stripped of it.
Well,
and then you know, I wonder how to distinguish them.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, Rodney, because if you think about it, when we become fused with our adjuster, what's the first thing they do?
Number us, right?
Give us a name and number, right? A new name, and number, right?
A number.
So that they can keep track of us, I guess.
Exactly.
And that sort of thing. So
inventory.
Yeah, right. So when you get to this point, you must be above, that's why they said those above name and number. So at this point, you're kind of like a free soul, you know, because you're above being categorized any longer because you've achieved what you're supposed to have achieved. Makes sense?
Well, I can understand that.
Yeah.
However, I wonder how they distinguish them. It's like,
you got me? Yeah.
No, that guy over there.
Yeah. Well, it's like Gary said, hey, you.
Hey, you. Yeah. And they all look.
Yeah.
Roger.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like the Borg on Star Trek.
The collective. Jane. Yeah.
I'm thinking if they don't have name and number for everyone, would they still not have, like Rodney's saying, an identification, a name or a number for those, because there is always someone above, right?
There's always someone above.
There is the Paradise Trinity above.
That's right. They're always, right?
Would they have a name for them?
Yeah, they would have a name because the Ancients of Days has to communicate with them somehow.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so they have to have a, maybe it is more like a collective consciousness. They know what they're thinking before they think. I'm not sure, it's a confusing concept any way you look at it, to be above a name and number, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
maybe they're
may be just a interpretation problem for this mighty messenger trying to relate to what they're trying to teach us, right? I just lost you on the, I lost you. No, there you are. Okay. Who did I lose?
Pam just joined us.
Okay. Hey, sorry I'm late.
That's all right.
I couldn't remember what day it was, and I usually have my phone to set the alarm, and somehow I disabled it.
Oh, okay. All right, so my screen's all jumbled up again. Pam, would you take the next one then? The Trinitized Custodians.
Gary's got his hand raised.
Oh, does he? Gary, go ahead and ask.
I was wondering about this identification stuff.
Uh-huh.
Seems how God gives us all a personality, which is unique.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe they're identified by personality.
That may be true, Gary. May very well be true.
Or by symbols.
Like something outside our consciousness exactly. Right now. Yeah. Yeah.
I will lower my hand now.
Okay. Sounds good.
The Trinitized custodians are Trinitized sons of selection. Not only do your races and other mortals of survival value traverse Avona, attain paradise, and sometimes find themselves destined to super universe service with the stationary sons of the Trinity. But your faithful seraphic guardians and your equally faithful midway associates may also become candidates for the same Trinity recognition and superb personality destiny.
Okay, so this is one of the classes that the seraphic guardians and the midwayers can aspire to attain over time. Okay,
that's nice.
This is their group, the Trinitized Custodians. All right, let's go on. Diane, you're back up.
Trinitized Custodians are Trinitized Sons of Selection. Not only do your races and other mortals of survival value traverse Havona. 2251?
I think you're one ahead. I think you're supposed to be...
I think you're good. It's just repeating.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I just read the one above.
Yeah. It's just repeating something.
You're good.
Sometimes. Trinitized custodians are ascendant seraphic and translated midway creatures who have passed through Havona and have attained paradise and the core of the finality. Subsequently, they were embraced by the Paradise Trinity and were assigned to the service of the Ancients of Days.
So this is both seraphim and midwayers that can be included in this embrace.
Ryan said seraphic.
Yeah.
Was seraphim. Seraphim.
Oh,
yeah.
I did say seraphim. Yeah.
Yeah, it's seraphim.
Seraphim.
Yeah.
Seraphim.
Okay. And we know that seraphim are guardian angels, right? Everybody's clear on that.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Linda, would you take the next one, please, dear?
The candidates for the Trinity embrace from among the ascendant seraphim are accorded this recognition because of their valiant cooperation with some ascendant mortal who attained the core of the finality and was subsequently Trinitized. My own seraphic guardian of the mortal career went through with me, was later Trinitized, and now is attached to the Uversa government as a Trinitized custodian.
You know, it's
That's
interesting.
Far out.
That's far out, yeah. But it's interesting that your seraphim can follow you all the way to paradise. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You know, they'll come and go for a while, but they can follow you. That same seraphim can go with you literally to paradise, okay, and earn the same rights that you have earned through your experience. They can earn those same rights just like you do. And this is the group they would end up in if they did that. Right, and they would become attached to the Uversa government as a Trinitized custodian. Now, Uversa, of course, is our capital, this local universe or super universe. All right, Jane, would you take the next two? You don't get away with just one sentence, too. Unmute first, Jane. Jane, there you go.
Sorry. And so with the midway creatures, many are translated and achieve paradise, and along with the seraphim, and for the same reason, are Trinity embraced and commissioned as custodians in the super universes.
So the midwayers have the same possibility, right? All right, go on to the next one, Jay. All right.
The Trinitized custodians are embraced by the Paradise Trinity in groups of 70,000 and 1/7 of each group is assigned to a super universe. There are now in the service of Orvanton slightly over 10 million of these trusted and high custodians. They serve on Uversa and on the major and minor headquarters spheres. In their labors, they are assisted by a core of several billion Sekonafim and other able super universe personalities.
So it's always interesting that, of course, this is a smaller group because there's less of them, right? But it's always interesting that whenever they get these new assignments, they're always assigned Sekonafim as helpers. You see that? Several billion Sekonafim are assigned as helpers. So, you know, each occupation, if you want to call it that, when you get there, you also always have lots of helpers to help you through this stuff, right? All right. Letch, would you take the next one, please?
Okay. Trinitized, is that the right
one? Yes, that's it. Custodians, that's right.
Trinitized ambassadors, custodians, start out their careers as custodians, and they continue as such in the affairs of the super governments. In a way, they are officers of their super universe governments, but they do not deal with individuals as do the celestial guardians. The Trinitized custodians administer group affairs and foster collective projects. They are the custodians of records, plans, and institutions. They act as the trustees of undertakings, personality groups, ascendant projects, Marantia plans, universe projections, and innumerable other enterprises.
So they're sort of like the leaders of all these different things that's going on, right? And they've earned that right going through the experience they have. So you don't, when they call them Trinitized custodians, you think that like they're janitors, but they're not talking about those kind of custodians, right? I'm a Trinitized janitor.
They do take care.
They take care of things, but not in that way.
Clean toilets.
Yes, right.
Actually, it sounds pretty interesting.
Do records have anything to do with like the Akashic records? Something
yeah,
like that?
They could have. Could be. So, all right. The Trinitized ambassadors. Rodney, would you take the next one, please?
Yes. 6 Trinitized ambassadors. Trinitized ambassadors are the second order of the Trinitized Sons of Selection. And like their associates, the custodians are recruited from two types of ascendant creatures. Not all ascending mortals are adjuster or father fused. Some are spirit fused, some are sun fused. Certain of these spirit and sun fused mortals reach Havana and attain paradise. From among these paradise ascenders, candidates are selected for the Trinity embrace. And from time to time, they are Trinitized in classes of 7,000. They are then commissioned in the super universes as Trinitized ambassadors of the Ancients of Days. Almost 500 million are registered on Uversa.
So, you know, I know we've had these questions about the beings that are not father fused. These are son fused beings that were not able to fuse with their adjusters, right? So many of these beings are giving a sun fragment to fuse with or a spirit fragment to fuse with. And this is part, this is one of their possible future developments over time, right? So they can become Trinitized ambassadors and work for the Ancients of Days, you know. And it's interesting because most of the sun-fused beings and the spirit-fused beings stay either in the local universe or the super universe of their origin, right? Okay. So it's interesting that they bring them, they're Trinitized, and then they bring them back to the service of the Ancients of Days.
I have a question.
Sure.
Yeah. So I thought that all mortals, when they go on, are adjuster fused, but there's father fused, which I thought was adjuster fused.
Right. Yeah,
that is. But some are spirit fused and some are sun fused. I don't know who is that.
These are beings that are not able to, for one reason or another, develop the ability to fuse with their adjuster. Okay. And it's mostly the beings that are start out on a planet early before they have the opportunity to have experienced adjusters. Okay. So what happens is when they get to the mansion worlds, they're kind of slower at picking up the process in which they can fuse with the adjusters. And many of them, like single brain beings, are not able to fuse with the adjuster.
Can eventually or no?
No, they never will. And that's why they're given sun fragments or spirit fragments, because they're not able to reach that plateau in which they can fuse with the father fragment. And it's interesting because that's probably even beings coming from our period in time, because we are spiritually really backwards as a planet, if you think about it.
Right? Yeah.
And that's why it takes most beings up to the fifth or sixth mansion world to even be able to fuse with their adjuster, because we don't have a spiritual upbringing like some planets do. You know what I'm saying? Because if we were closer to like a planet that was getting ready to step into light and life, we would be on a much higher spiritual plane in our daily existence. We don't put a lot of time into our experience, our spiritual training on a daily basis, if you think about it, right? So we're a little
I think we have a lot to learn about our history, not only of our world, of our planet, but who we are.
Yes.
I think a lot of that, because of the rebellion, has been hidden from us.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, it's really funny how much a rebellion will affect the beings coming after that rebellion for long, long periods of time. You know, if you think about it, 250,000 years ago for our rebellion is not that long. And even worse, 2,000 years ago for Christ to be on the planet is like a blink of an eye. It's no time whatsoever. You know, and it's kind of funny because everybody's looking for Christ to come back any day, and it might be a million years before he decides to come back.
Right.
He was just here.
He was just here, really. Think about it. You know, and you think of the long run time. We just have such a short concept of time. You know, that's.
Well, hopefully he won't come back sooner, because that would mean the planet would be in really bad shape.
Yeah. Well, it's already in really bad shape, but
really bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we're hopeful, right? Yeah. Right.
So it is true that on primitive planets like we once were,
right,
and probably still are, if they did not achieve an adjuster,
right,
when they passed away, they just died. Everything.
No.
They did not have a soul. An adjuster to get a soul.
It takes the adjuster to get a soul, but if they...
Oh, but
if
like they, kids.
No, yeah, but they're like children. They like still children. Go on to the mansion worlds. And then when they get to the mansion worlds, they're given a sun fragment or a spirit fragment. Right. So it's not that there's no hope for them, that because there is. Any being, regardless of where you come from or what you are, any being that has basic faith in two things, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man will make it to the mansion worlds. That's what gets you the ticket, mm-hmm. right?
If but you I'm believe talking God, about
even the brotherhood.
Before the planetary prince showed up on our world.
Even those, Rodney, even those before the planetary prince, if they had a concept of a higher power.
Correct.
Okay. Like the great white spirit or whatever you want to call it, you know, the force, you know, like Star Wars, the force be with you. If you had a concept of a power greater than yourself, that would give you a ticket to get to the first mansion.
I understand. Cool.
You see what I'm saying?
Understood. If you even worshiped rocks.
Yes.
As something beyond you. Okay.
Yes. A higher concept of you. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They just have a lot of learning to go through on the mansion.
You got
worlds.
A lot. Yeah. You'll stay in the remedial classes for a long, long time. Right. Of course, we're going to have a lot of people in our remedial classes for a long time anyway. You think about it. When we leave this planet in the current state of society, the way it is right now, we're pretty stupid spiritually. It comes right down to it, right?
Yeah.
We really are. Even us that study the book have a big jump on things, but we're still pretty stupid. You know, we can't get arrogant about our place in this world just because we study this book. We've been enlightened in some sense, but that gives us more responsibility as an enlightened being to spread that enlightenment to other people, even if it's basic concepts. You don't have to teach them the book, but you need to spread basic concepts to brothers and sisters, right? That's all there is to it. Okay, let's go on to the next one. I've lost our place there.
It's
2262. I think I'm right.
62. Okay, Gary, I think you're up.
Okay, with Trinidad's ambassadors.
Right. Trinidad's are selected.
Huh?
Trinidad's ambassadors are selected.
Yeah. Trinidad's ambassadors are selected for the Trinity embrace upon the advices of their Havana teachers. They represent the superior minds of their respective groups and are therefore best qualified to assist the super universe rulers in understanding and in administrating the interests of those worlds from which the spirit-fused mortals hail. The sun-fused ambassadors are of great assistance in our dealings with problems involving the sun-fused order of personality.
Notice they talk about two different beings there. One of them is the spirit-fused mortals, and the other one is the sun-fused ambassadors, right? So there's worlds that all the mortals come from that are all spirit-fused mortals, and some of them are all sun-fused mortals. Okay, so some worlds are not adjuster-fused mortals to start out with. Okay, they're developed that way, and these are what I was talking about earlier, the one-brain series. The one-brain series of mortals normally are not given father fragments. They're given either sun fragments or spirit fragments. Okay? So there's whole worlds of them. Yes, Jane. You're muted, Jane. I can't hear you.
Every time. and this is in our super universe?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yeah, there's whole planets. Huh? There's whole planets like this, right? In our super universe. In our local universe, there's even planets like this.
Like that. Okay, yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So let me give you a good example. We don't know of, all right, I'm going to get off track here for just a second. We don't know if the space people that are buzzing around our planets and UFOs, okay, we don't know if those beings are sun-fused mortals or if they're spirit-fused mortals or if they're father fragment mortals that's buzzing around in these spaceships. They could be spirit-fused mortals that's on a higher level than we are, okay? So nothing is guaranteed 100%. So when we talk about beings outside our planet, just because they are technologically on a higher plane doesn't necessarily mean they are spiritually on a higher plane than we are either. Follow me? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we just don't know. Right. So the grays you see on TV and the green little green men and all these people that get out of the spaceship, we don't know what kind of beings those are. That's basically what I'm saying, right? There's just no way to tell.
Okay. They could be cannibals.
They could be cannibals. We don't know. We just don't know. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Who's up next? I believe Pam. Gary, did you just read? So Pam yes. would be up.
Okay. Trinidad's ambassadors are the emissaries of the Ancients of Days for any and all purposes to any and all worlds or universes within the super universe of their assignment. They render particular and important services on the headquarters of the minor sectors, and they perform the numberless miscellaneous assignments of a super universe. They are the emergency or reserve corps of the Trinity Sons of the super governments, and they are therefore available for a great range of duties. They engage in thousands upon thousands of undertakings in the super universe affairs, which it is impossible to portray to human minds. Since there is nothing transpiring on Urantia that is in any way analogous of these activities.
So what it's telling us is there's lots of things going on in the minor major sectors and everywhere else over the seven super universes that are nothing like Atlanta, Urantia, right? Definitely nothing like Atlanta. Nothing wow. like Urantia for sure. Okay, so there's things going on that's outside our scope of consciousness. That's just all there is to it. We're pretty on the lower end, pretty much on the lower end yet. You know, so okay. Techniques of trinitization. Diane, would you take the first one on that, please?
I cannot fully unfold to the material mind the experience of a supreme creative performance of perfect and perfected spiritual beings, the act of trinitization. The techniques of trinitization are among the secrets of Vice Gerrington and Solitaire, and are revealable to and understandable by none save those who have passed through these unique experiences. Therefore, is it beyond the possibility of any being successfully to portray to the human mind the nature and purpose of this extraordinary transaction?
I find it interesting that they start this off telling us this is the technique of trinitization, then they tell us we don't have any concept of what they're talking about, right? So it's above us. You know, we don't really have anything to compare it to. And the other thing they talk about is it's the secret of Vice Gerrington and Solitarrington, and this is one of the worlds, the 21 worlds, the satellite worlds that surround paradise, right? And each one of them have different secrets for different types of beings. So this is part of those two worlds. All right, let's just keep going on this. With Linda, would you take the next one, please, dear?
Aside from the deities, only Paradise Havona personalities and certain members of each of the finality or core engage in trinitization. Under specialized conditions of paradise perfection, these superb beings may embark upon the unique adventure of concept identity, and they are many times successful in the production of a new being, a creature trinitized son.
And this is from these two beings, either mortals and a mortal and a Havona citizen or any combination thereof, coming together and trinitizing this concept, and a new being is what they call a creature trinitized son appears out of this. Okay. And this is a whole different section. So we're not going to get too much into that tonight. All right. Let's see here. Jane, would you take the next one?
Okay. The glorified creatures who engage in such adventures of trinitization may participate in only one such experience. Whereas with the paradise deities, there seems to be no limit to the continued enactment of trinitization episodes. Deity seems to be limited in just one respect. There can be only one original and infinite spirit, only one infinite executive of the united will of the Father, Son.
Okay, so when the paradise deities decide to trinitize something, they can do it over and over and over again. But humans and or mortals and Havona paradise citizens with mortals, when they trinitize a new creature, they can only do it one time. Okay. But the exception to the deity's trinitization process is the original infinite spirit, right? And the infinite spirit basically came from whom?
The Father, God, the Son.
And the Son, right?
They trinitized themselves.
They trinitized themselves to create what? The infinite spirit. And that could only happen one time, right? Now, they are not limited to the trinitization process for other things outside the infinite spirit, but in the infinite spirit's case, the infinite spirit became part of what? The original Trinity, and it will never change, right? So there'll never be another infinite spirit. There'll be lots and lots of trinitizations after that, but there will only always be one infinite spirit from the trinitization of God the Father and God the Son, right? All right. Now, then we have a little picture here, and this is basically shows two ascenders or ascender and a Havona pilgrim going to through the trinitization process and creating a ascender trinitized son. Okay, Gary, did you have a question?
Yeah, these trinitized beings, would they be considered mini gods or something like that?
No, they're not. The trinitized sons that are basically created from this trinitized concept, Gary, are the epitome of one specific concept, okay? So when this happens, when a mortal and a paradise citizen or two mortals get together and they trinitize together a new being, this new being is the epitome of a new concept they've come up together with, and there can only be one of those beings created. Just like the infinite spirit, there can only be one. So it limits how many of these beings are in each of the seven super universes. So if you do this new concept, let's say for the seventh super universe, that trinitized being will be unique for the seventh super universe. It won't be in any other universe. Make sense?
For all eternity.
Huh?
For all eternity?
For all eternity, as far as we know, unless something changes, right? So think of it this way. When you are married and you have a child, right? Get together, husband, wife, have a child, right? When you do that, that sperm and egg creates what? A unique being, a new child, right? That unique child will never have a duplicate through all eternity. Every one of us are different, aren't we?
Yeah.
Right? So when you have a baby and you have a child, that child is a unique being that will be unique through all eternity because of its experience, right? It will never have a duplicate. Never. You can get together with your husband and wife and have many children, but you'll never have a unique being same as that one child, right? It works the same way with the trinitization process. When two beings come together and create a unique trinitized son of God, a new concept, that concept will always be unique and will never be duplicated, just like each child. Make sense? That's how it works. All right. So think about how blessed you are with your children, right? Because they're a unique being. Okay. Let's see. Who's next here? I think Jane is. Linda, did I skip over? You just read? Okay. Letch, would you take the next one, please?
Okay. The ascendant adjuster views mortal finaliters who have attained certain levels of paradise culture and spiritual development are among those who can essay to trinitize a creature being. Mortal finaliter companies, when stationed on paradise, are granted a recess every millennium of Havana time. There are seven different ways such finaliters may elect to spend this duty-free period. And one of these is in association with some fellow finaliter or some paradise Havana personality to attempt the enactment of creature trinitization.
Okay, so think about, all right, a millennium of Havana time. How much time is that?
Million years.
That's right. So if you're granted a break to go do this trinitization, you get a million years to go do that. That's a little bit of time, wouldn't you say? All right. So it's not a quick and easy process. All right. So you can choose to go with another finaliter or with a paradise citizen, either one. All right.
Hope they give you more than 15 minutes.
Give you more than 15 minutes. That's right. All right. Rodney, would you take the next one?
Yes. If two mortal finaliters on going before the architects of the master universe demonstrate that they have independently chosen an identical concept for trinitization, the architects are empowered on their own discretion to promulgate mandates permitting these glorified mortal ascenders to extend their recess and to remove themselves for a time to the trinitizing sector of the paradise citizens. At the end of this assigned retreat, if they report that they have singly and jointly elected to make the paradisical effort to spiritualize, idealize, and actualize a selected and original concept, which has not theretofore been trinitized, then does the Master Spirit, number 7, issue orders authorizing such an extraordinary undertaking.
Okay, so why do you think they have to get an approval from the architects of the Master Universe? Anybody got any idea? You think it might be because the architects of the Master Universe have to decide on any new development of anything new in the 7 super universes, right? Just like they do super universes and local universes and everything else. Who's the first one to make the decisions about it? It's the architects of the Master Universe, right? It's the same way with this trinitization process. So if you come up with a unique concept or a unique idea, you have to run it by the architects of the Master Universe. They give you the approval, just like this picture, and then you go to the trinitizing sector of the paradise citizens and start the trinitization process. That's what this next little thing is. So they have you go to the trinitization area Master Spirit number 7 gives you the okay, and then you give it a try. All right. And it is not an easy, quick process. Let me see. No. I think I'm going to quit there because we're down to 657. We'll take this unbelievably long periods of time. We'll take that next time. All right. Because it's not an easy process by any means, right? Okay. Any questions on what we covered tonight so far? Right. We got maybe 2 minutes left. Nope.
All right. No, well, but I do have a question.
All right. Go ahead, Rodney.
When it comes to a cloned human being,
yeah,
that would be an identical being materially.
Yeah.
But would it also receive an adjuster? Surely it would.
Rodney, a cloned individual, even if it was an exact copy of someone else, okay, from the moment that that individual, if it was possible to do that, but from the moment that individual started, it would have a different experience from that moment on. Right.
It would be given a different personality.
It would have to have a different personality. It would have to have a different soul.
Gotcha.
It would have to have an adjuster just like anything else. But
okay, just curious.
Yeah. In order for that to happen, who would have to approve of that? It would be the local universe mother spirit, because the local universe mother spirit does what? She's the one that instills life into anything. Right? Any type of being, both animal and human. Right? So without the spark of life from the creative mother spirit, I don't care how smart we think we get, we can't clone people and expect them to be exact duplicates of someone else, because that moment of birth or start out, whenever they start, they would be unique from that moment on. Right?
It's true that the personality is originally derived from God, the creation of the personality.
Personality comes from God. That's right. The spark of life comes from the local universe mother spirit, right?
Yeah.
Without the personality from God, would that person be real? No.
No.
Couldn't be, right?
Couldn't be.
No, there's no possible way. Okay. Let's say a little prayer and we'll quit for tonight. Linda, would you like to pray for us tonight?
Our Eternal Father, thank you so much for this revelation and for this group meeting here tonight and for what we read. I think what we all need most is enlightenment. To give us the amount of enlightenment that we need to understand what we read, and most of all, to apply it to our lives here and now. We ask that you help us to go in peace and just do our part to make this revelation a reality in our lives and in the lives of others, just through our daily lives, not necessarily by telling them about it, but just by the way that we live and by the way that we act. We thank you for Roger and for his time putting all of this together. And we ask you to bless us and all of our families as we go about the rest of our week. Thank you in your son Michael's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank Amen. You.
Linda, that Everyone was so again. Nicely said.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'd just like to speak from my heart is what I try to do. Yes. So. Thanks.
That is inspiring. And
thank you all for at home for coming to see us. Please come see us again too.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm glad I made it.
Yeah.
We're glad you did too, Pamela.
Oh, thank you.
I was watching a video from 2015, I believe. You were present there already.
Yeah.